Well, as you know, first of all, it's my great pleasure to be here. I don't usually start sermons that way when I was a regular pastor, but I want to say that today. I want to say it's my great pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me to not just lead worship, but to baptize little Felix Keith. It's a great honor, and I'm very happy to be here. We are in the year B, so you've been hearing readings from Luke, started in Advent. So, of course, we heard Luke's account of the baptism of Jesus. And every account is a little bit different in the Gospels. Luke, throughout his Gospel and in the book of Acts, will continually emphasize the power of the Spirit. We believe, as did the Jews at that time, that the Spirit was present from the time of creation. The Spirit will always be there to sustain us until the end time. The conception of Jesus and Mary's response, the conception of John the Baptizer and Elizabeth's response, that's all the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit baptizes Jesus, leads him into the wilderness, empowers his ministry throughout. Jesus rejoices in the Spirit continually and receives the power of the Spirit renewed through prayer. At his crucifixion, Jesus will commit his Spirit to God and will make that promise to send the Holy Spirit to his followers. And in the book of Acts, also written by Luke, in the beginning, we have the story of Pentecost, when the Spirit is given to the believers. So Luke insists that Jesus' baptism was accomplished by God the Holy Spirit without human intervention. And that was important partly because when Luke was writing this, communities of early Christians were very fiercely loyal to the memory of John the Baptizer. And some actually believed, in spite of what he said, that he was the promised Messiah. And so Luke has John insisting, "No, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not worthy to act as a slave and untie his sandals. There is one far greater than me who will be coming." And in the baptism, Jesus is baptized a little differently from the rest of the people. If you look at the story, the other people are baptized first, and then Jesus is baptized. And Luke tells us that Jesus is going to baptize a little differently than John. John is using this Jewish ritual for repentance with water, but Jesus is going to have the Holy Spirit, and then he says fire. That sounds a little scary. It's really not meant to frighten us. The power of the fire, it's a remembrance of the tongues of flame, the presence of the Spirit at Pentecost. Now we might wonder, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Isn't Jesus God? Jesus is without sin. Jesus doesn't need to repent and ask for forgiveness. But Jesus comes to John and asks to be baptized, demonstrating his humanity, because we believe he was both human and divine, right? This is his humanity. He has a visceral connection to the people with whom he is going to live, preach, teach, and heal. He is emphasizing that connection. His baptism emphasizes the need that we all have for community. Those baptisms that John was performing came from Jewish rituals of repentance and then being cleansed. We kind of co-opted baptism from Judaism, so they have a different kind of explanation. They don't use that word anymore for their cleansings and their washings, like in the waters of the mikvah. But that's where it comes from. But now, of course, we've added that power of the Holy Spirit. In ancient times, at that time, the theologians believed that at the end time, the heavens would be torn open very dramatically, and angels would come down, and they would cleanse the world of evil, and they would reorder the world. So Luke says that at Jesus' baptism, the heavens were torn open, but it's not the end time, so the angels don't come down. We reserve them for the end time. What happens is we get a reaffirmation of that presence of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the dove is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Spirit's been in the world since creation, and now, at baptism, just as at Jesus' baptism, we receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, and that gift is present in us throughout our lives. And so today, we're very pleased to baptize Felix Keith. He's going to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to become what we might call an official member of the church. Now, of course, God has loved Felix since his conception, but now he's going to be part of a community It's a community that's going to help Pastor Emily and Dan nurture him and guide him on his faith journey. He's got his shell to remind him that he's a pilgrim on his faith journey. And how absolutely lovely it is that Dottie and Rudy are members of your congregation to be sponsors. They're representing all of you because you're going to promise to surround him with your loving care. I recently reread a book that was written by the well-known political writer Peggy Noonan. And in the book, it's not the focus of the book, but she happens to describe the baptism of her son, Will. And after finishing the ritual, the priest said, "And Will, now you can go on to become a senator or a congressman." Well, that was a lighthearted comment by a priest who was friends of the family and knew them very well. But when I read that, it immediately reminded me that unlike all the rituals we go through during our lives, graduations, certifications, the rituals of the church are not earned in order to prepare us for a vocation. When we receive the sacraments of baptism and the Eucharist, we're reminded we are all God's beloved children. The presence of God's Spirit is freely bestowed on us out of God's abundance. No matter our vocation, our gender, our sexual identity, our ethnicity, our country of origin, none of that matters because God's grace is a gift that is freely offered to all. We don't know what vocation Felix will be called to, and I'm certainly not going to pressure him by suggesting one. But what matters today is that we have the confidence that as a baptized child of God, he's always going to have that gift of the Holy Spirit. God's presence will be with him as he grows and as he learns. As our new granddaughter from Ukraine says every morning to her older brothers, "Remember to make good choices." At the age of 10, she's already learned the consequence of making some bad choices. But the Holy Spirit and all those who care for her are guiding her in the right direction. Felix will receive that same blessing. He will have the Spirit. And it's not just his parents, his sponsors, loved ones, and authority figures like teachers. But importantly, it's you, the people of St. Stephen's. You're going to assure him of God's abundant love, and you're going to set an example of godly living for him. Many people bring their children to be baptized or seek out baptism for themselves, not just because it's a tradition in their family, but because they're looking to satisfy a longing they have for community. They're not looking to just join another social club. There's plenty of social clubs around. It's a response, a reaction to that radical individualism that has prevailed in modern society. People want to be part of a group that has a communal purpose, to live surrounded by God's love and care, and to have a mission to carry out God's will in the world. And so today we welcome you, little Felix. We welcome you to the wider church, and we also welcome you to this special community that is eagerly awaiting the opportunity to nurture you and to guide you as you travel on the beginning of your faith journey, of your faith pilgrimage, and experience that abundance of God's love. Amen.